Lady, are you sure you know where your husband is tonight?
We have a lady who doesn't, and you'll meet her later on...
People Are Funny.
Yes, transcribed from Hollywood, John Goodell's production of People Are Funny, repeating the best shows of the past season. And now, here's radio's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome to Hollywood and the People Are Funny show. I think we're going to have a very busy and, I hope, exciting half hour ahead of you. But right now, Roy Rowan, who's first to help us prove that people are funny in Hollywood?
Our first guest is Miss Carol Nerby from Pasadena, California.
Hello, Miss Nerby.
How do you do?
Did he say you're from Pasadena?
Well, I am now, but not originally.
Where are you from?
Well, I was born in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Now, you're a single girl.
Yes.
And your first name is?
Carol.
What do you do, Carol?
I'm an X-ray technician, registered.
And you're very pretty blonde, and you've never been married?
No.
Uh-huh. There's no reason why you shouldn't if we found the right fella.
I don't think so.
Uh-huh. You're romantically inclined.
Why, shouldn't I?
As a matter of fact, Miss Nerby, I must confess to something. Our first stunt tonight, we really need a married woman, and you're single, and would you pretend, just for the fun of it, pretend that you're married for the evening?
I will.
You will. All right. You'll go along with this. Okay. I now pronounce you a married woman. And what do you know, folks? Already, here is her first child. Will you bring it out, please? Just take him. He's a 6.5-month baby. Boy, is he a cutie pie? Say, don't things go fast on this show? She was a single girl a minute ago. Now she's married and has a baby. Ever held a baby before?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. An X-ray technician, huh? You're now an ex-X-ray technician with him, and his thumb is right in his mouth. Pull it out. Attaboy. Oh, he gives it to me. Now, Mrs. Nerby, I'm going to call you Mrs. Nerby now. Take a look at him. Do you think he looks more like you or your husband?
Well, he doesn't have my brown eyes.
Yeah, and you don't know what your husband looks like, do you?
No, not now.
Well, it doesn't make any difference because, Mrs. Nerby, you don't have any husband now. Because he has just deserted you. You see, things do happen fast. A minute ago, she wasn't married. Now she's married, has a baby, and her husband's gone. And I'll tell you where he is. He's down at a Hollywood bus station, getting ready to take a bus and desert you and your child. Are you properly confused?
I am.
You don't know what I'm driving at? Huh? I see a look of horror creeping into her eyes. Well, this is the truth, Miss Nerby. Here's the idea of the stunt. We're going to drive you, Mr. Irvin Atkins there, you and your new baby, down to a bus station, and he'll point out a man to you.
He will?
Now, you rush up to this stranger, and you accuse him of deserting you and your baby. I want you to make this dramatic and believable. Pretend I'm the husband. What would you say?
You scoundrel! How dare you run away and leave us alone?
That's pretty good, isn't it? She catches on real fast. Well, I tell you, you remember the landlady needs the rent. There's no milk for the baby in the house. Anything you can think of. And really press him because we want to... Now, don't worry. Don't worry about the stranger because he's an actor that we've hired that Irv will point out. What we want to find out is the reactions of the people in the bus station. There are always maybe 30 or 40 people waiting. Will they take sides in a family squabble? People are funny about sticking their nose into other people's business. You get that?
Yes.
And kind of take note of what they... Will they side with you or him and so forth? And it'll be kind of an interesting report when you get back, okay?
All right.
All right, on your way, Irv. Say goodbye to the poor, deserted wife. You know, I have never seen a more nervous woman than when she volunteered. And now she's got one of the worst stunts to perform because... You know how we're going to double-cross her? Oh, then you already know. I won't tell you. Wait till the end of the program and find out if you're right. Who's next, Roy?
Our next guest is Miss Lillian Peterson from Los Angeles.
All right, Mrs. Peterson, what do you do as a job?
I work downtown at Bullock.
Uh-huh. And you'll recall that you said you believe in female intuition?
Yes.
We think that people are funny about liking to tell of their narrow escapes. If anybody's ever escaped with their life in an interesting or unusual way, they're bound to determine to have everybody hear about it. And so you and I go down the audience, Mrs. Peterson. We're going down, walk up and down the aisles. We're going to talk to three or four people. And they're going to tell us their true stories of a narrow escape. But I must warn you that there is one person in the audience who is a phony, planted there by us, a liar. And he is not going to tell the truth. We're going to give you $200 worth of fine merchandise if you can tell us which one is lying after you've heard them all.
I'll try.
All right, get your affirmative intuition and a working. Because here we go. All right, let's see the hands of the people who'd like to tell us about their narrow escapes. Would you stand up, the lady right here in the coral suit? You are Mrs.?
Healy.
And Mrs. Healy, supposing you just tell us in your own words where it happened and what happened.
Well, several years ago in Chicago, there were some new neighbors moved in who had built a very beautiful home in this residential district. And they moved in a few weeks before Halloween, and they had a housewarming Halloween night. And about 2 a.m, I was awakened with dreadful yelling and screaming, and the neighborhood being quiet, it alarmed me. I got up and put on my house slippers and went to the front window, and there was the street just milling with men beating and banging each other. In the meantime, a neighbor evidently called the police, and the patrol came and took them off. And a little while, a flashlight flashed over my windows, where in between time, something I didn't know what it was went over my head, and I put my hand up, and my hair was full of glass. And these two men rang my doorbell, and they came to the door, and they said they were detectives. And they had noticed the hole in the glass, and they came in and wanted to see if anybody was injured. And I told them that I was so surprised and scared I didn't know what to say. And one fellow looked down at me, and he said, "Boy, you'd been a cooked goose if you had shoes on. You have slippers on, and you were just below the bullet."
Now, you heard that story now, Mrs. Peterson. How do you do, sir?
How do you do?
Your name is?
Hal Keene.
Where are you from, Mr. Keene?
St. Louis, Missouri.
And what was the story of your narrow escape?
Well, a couple of years ago, I was wrestling professionally in a small town, or not too small town, Owensboro, Kentucky. And after my match, which I won, the people seemed to think that I was unfair in my tactics. And when the referee announced that I had won, it seemed like the whole arena arose and was just about to lynch me. And my opponent, still quite angry for something, I can't still to this day figure out what it was, runs over and he just hits me with all his might.
When you weren't looking?
Yes. And that's all I remember, that I was knocked out cold. But later on in the dressing room, I found out that if it hadn't been for the fact that had knocked me out and they carried me out of me on the stretcher, God only knows what might have happened to me with all those people who seemed to claim that I was wrong.
In other words, they were getting ready to form a lynch mob for you.
Yes, that's right.
Sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know too much about wrestling.
Our next guest is Mr.
Falk.
Where are you from, Mr. Falk?
Well, originally Chicago.
All right, what was your narrow escape?
Well, last year, my 25th anniversary, I almost forgot it. It was on November 11th. So in the last minute, I thought, well, I better get some silverware because it's my silver anniversary. So I went to the bank to get the money. And just as they handed me the money, I heard some the alarms and some bullets going. So I run for the door, and a bullet crashed the door above my head.
It was a bank holdup.
Mm-hmm.
You got out all right?
Yeah.
And didn't get hit?
No.
All right, there's two bullet stories. This was a bank holdup. The other one was a neighborhood brawl. Thank you very much, sir. We have one more guest, a lady. That makes two ladies and two men. Now, remember, one of these is a liar. One of them is a liar because we put him here, or her, and she or he was to tell one fact in this story which would tip you off. You are Mrs.?
Margaret Riggs.
And where are you from?
From Tacoma, Washington.
Uh-huh. What was your narrow escape?
Well, in 1941, November, I believe it was, our Narrows Bridge fell in the water. And I was in the last car to get across. The next one went down with the bridge.
How tall a bridge is that?
It's almost 200 feet, about a mile long.
And you were at the tail end of the traffic that got across.
Yes, the next car was a truck, which went down.
Was your car swaying at all with the bridge?
Yes, quite a good deal.
Did you know it was going to go?
No, we had no idea then when we started crossing.
Who was in the car with you?
Well, we were riding with a doctor and another man who was with him, a real estate man. Uh-huh.
If you'd been back 50 feet, you wouldn't be here right now.
Well, it's just about that close.
I'm just guessing, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, do we have any more? Oh, we have one more lady. We want to get them all in. You're Mrs.?
Mrs. Howard Rusted.
From where?
From Los Angeles, now.
Mrs. Rusted, what happened to you?
Well, when I was about 3, we moved to not too far from a railroad track. And one night, my sister got scared. She was dreaming, and she tried to throw me out the upstairs window. And if the screen hadn't been there, I would have toppled out. But I yelled so when I hit the floor, she woke up.
How old were you? Three?
About three.
How old was she?
Well, I wouldn't say. She was much older than I. She was
about
14 years old.
And it was a nightmare, and she was in her sleep, taking you to the window to throw you out.
Yes.
Well, that's an exciting story. And it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
A long time ago.
Uh-huh. Mrs. Peterson, who are you picking?
There's a man who has a suspicious look on his face. If I judge from that way, yes.
In other words, the wrestler
yes.
looks suspicious to you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Has a suspicious look.
Now, there's nothing about his story particularly, because you don't know anything about wrestling.
I know nothing whatsoever.
But your intuition
wrestling.
Tells you that there's something sneaky about him.
Yes, definitely. The way his eyes and the general contour of his face and so on.
Yeah. You know, this is very interesting because this happens in police lineups and things all the time where people identify suspicious-looking people, and often they are accused of crimes. And believe me, you have very good intuition most of the time, but not this time. He's a perfectly okay guy.
Is that right?
So I'm sorry you're wrong. He is telling the truth.
It was a mere guess.
Yes. Now, I'm going to have to drop the prize to $100 worth of choice merchandise and give you a second guess. Now, you know that he told the truth. Now, if you had been listening carefully and looking carefully, I think you could have told. You want to take a second guess?
Well, I assure you it will be a guess at random this time, definitely.
Yes?
I have no idea now.
You haven't? Uh-huh. Well, what are you going to guess?
Well, I'll just guess this man, then.
This man here?
Mm-hmm.
For any special reason?
No, just because I'm going to guess now.
In other words, you seem to think that the men are more apt to be liars than the women.
Well...
You have been married.
I am.
Oh, yes. Well, that explains everything. You still are married.
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. Well, I tell you, you're feeling that the men are more liable to tell lies than the women.
No, they aren't. Women are bigger prevaricators than men.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yes, definitely. Women are.
Yes, but not tonight.
No, not tonight.
Well, you have hit it right. Your guess was right. The second time, this man, who doesn't look sneaky at all, did tell a lie, and I will tell you what it was that should have tipped you off. He said that he...
Well, see, I was so definite that it was he that I just sort of let the rest of the story slide. He was acting as if he were the guilty person.
Yes, uh-huh. Well, we'll keep the doors locked and don't let him away. There may be something in his past that none of us know about.
Well, there may be.
But I'll tell you what it was. Did anybody guess what it was that tipped him off? Well, I'll tell you. It was the 25th wedding anniversary that he went to the bank, and it was November 11th. Now, what is November 11th?
Armistice.
Armistice Day. And what happens to the banks on Armistice
They're
Day?
They're closed.
That's right. Oh, that's right. And we want to thank you other guests who told us the true stories of your narrow escapes. Thanks for proving you can't be too careful when you judge people. Thank you. Who's next on People Are Funny, Roy?
Our next guest is Mr. Sid Freeman from Culver City, California.
How do you do, Mr. Freeman?
How do you do, Art?
Now, Mr. Freeman, you're a specially invited guest here tonight. You live here in Hollywood.
In Culver City.
How long have you been in this part of the country?
Well, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. You're married?
Yes.
You have any children?
Two
children. Now, what kind of a job do you have, Sid?
I'm a CPA.
That's a...
Certified public accountant.
Now, Mr. Freeman, would you tell the people why and how we happened to invite you to be here tonight?
I'm still trying to find out, but I was working in the office tonight, and Mr. Atkins called me, asked me to come over, so here I am.
That's right. We found out that you're one of the people who work around Hollywood at night from time to time.
That's right.
How often do you work late? In other words, put in extra hours at the office?
Two or three nights a week.
Now, what does your wife think about you working late?
Well, she gets a little tired of it sometimes.
How late do you stay out at night?
About 10 or 11 o'clock.
10 or 11. Now, you ever phone your wife from the office?
Once in a while.
Does she ever phone you to see if you're really there?
Sometimes. Not to see if I'm really there, I hope.
No, she knows you're there, huh?
That's right.
Of course. But along that same line, while we're discussing that particular phase of this operation, does your wife ever question you about whether you come right straight home from work or what? Or where you eat when you're staying down here?
Oh, not too often, at least subtly.
Mm-hmm. And she thinks you're at the office right now.
Yes, I am.
Well, technically speaking, you are. We brought you over here from your office, didn't we?
That's right.
And she hasn't phoned and you haven't phoned her?
No.
All right. Now, as far as she's concerned, you're at the office working. Now... We promised you something for coming here.
That's right, $20 in cash and a chance at a prize.
That's right. Now, you have the $20 in cash, and here's the chance for the prize. For your home, a beautiful $200 carpet. And here is the test that we want to make, and right now, every husband all over the country has pricking up his ears and wondering if he couldn't learn something from what's going to happen. We want you to call your wife up right from here. See that phone over there on the table? It's a regular telephone. We want you to call her at your home and tell her you're still at work at the office. And we want you to try to get her to say these words to you, and we'll all be listening because we'll be hearing her conversation too. These three words that every wife should occasionally say to her husband: I love you.
I'll try.
All right, now. Have you ever called her up before in your life and asked her to say I love you?
Oh, I don't know.
It's an ordinary request, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, you're not really at the office. So, we're going to produce a few office sound effects in the background so that your wife naturally will believe you, okay?
Sure.
Now, this is a rather boisterous little office I have in mind. We'll give you a little preview of what it's going to sound like, boys. Sounds more like a bar to me. I don't know. Now, you got the picture, Mr. Freeman.
I've got it.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Now, remember, you're at the office. If your wife asks you about the voices and the laughing and the merriment in the background, make up your own story. You're on your own. Just don't tell her you're from People Are Funny. You got that?
Right.
Now, you got a minute and a half. Get ready to do some fast talking after you get her. And you sit down there and just dial your home phone. Just lift up the receiver and you're on your own. Uh-huh. You gave the telephone number to the operator.
Hello, darling.
Hi. How are the kids?
Just fine, except for Sandy. She seems to have the sniffles. Craig doesn't want to go to bed.
All right, I just called to see if you still love me. Do you?
Certainly, honey.
Well, I'll say it.
What's the matter with you? Are you working hard?
Well, sure I'm working hard.
That's fine.
Well, what's the matter?
Oh, I'm just tired.
Oh, well. I'm pretty tired, too. Been working pretty hard today. Getting kind of rough.
That
guffin,
come on.
Where are you?
Where am I? I'm in the office. What do you think? Yeah.
What's all that noise? It sounds suspicious.
Oh, the architect down the hall is having a party. I can't help it. He won't keep quiet.
Sure sounds gay.
Yeah, and you know he's opening his new office.
Why didn't you say something about it to us?
I don't know. He should have been by this. Tell me you love me, will you?
I don't know why you asked me this. You know the answer. Of course I love you.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Tell her goodbye.
Well, goodbye, honey. I'll see you later. Bye.
Say, you've got a reasonable wife. Hey, you like that. You know, there are two things about that conversation that interested me. I had on the earphone so I could hear her very clearly. Number one, she wasn't really very suspicious at all, was she?
Well, I tell you, I have a few clients who are in the restaurant business and have bars.
And so she could expect.
Well, if I'd been in the office, it wouldn't have sounded like that, but she could have figured I was in a restaurant or something.
Uh-huh. And in other words, you didn't say... Did you say you were at the office?
Yes, but she might not have noticed that.
Well, now, that was just a preliminary. The thing that interested me most about the conversation was how quickly you had an explanation of an office party down the hall with some poor architect got the whole load put on his shoulders, huh?
Well, that was a good excuse. I just opened an office, and there is an architect.
And he might give an office party.
He might.
You're a very successful married man, Mr. Freeman. And you have succeeded in having your wife answer, I love you, in a rather inexplicable situation. Goodbye, and thanks for your help in proving that people are funny. Mr. Freeman. We had a stunt that started a few minutes ago that was one of the most exciting stunts as far as possibilities are concerned that we've done for a long time. We sent a single girl out, pretending that she was married with a 6.5-month-old baby boy in her arms, to go to a Hollywood bus station and accuse a strange man of trying to desert her and their baby. She's back. Let's find out what happened and what was the double cross. Here she comes, Miss Nervy, a very sweet gal from Canada originally. How do you like being a married lady?
Oh, just wonderful.
Yeah, I'll bet. You had to go up to a bus station tonight, and Mr. Atkins pointed out a fella, didn't he?
He certainly did.
What did you do, or what did he do, when you went up and yelled about the desertion?
He denied it. He said, no, he wasn't married to me. He said, you must have the wrong husband. I said, no, indeed, I haven't the wrong husband. Where are you going?
And did he try to get away from you?
Certainly he did. He sat there and tried to argue for a few minutes. And then I said, well, where do you think you're going? He said, I'm going to San Diego.
San Diego? What did the rest of the people around the place do?
Well, at first when I went in there, the people were hypnotized.
You mean by this suddenly being an eyewitness to such a personal drama?
That's right.
Did you get the proper inflection in your voice?
Oh, yes. And then they were standing there, and before we left, the people were just standing there looking, their eyes popping out of their heads.
Did anybody do anything or say anything?
Then we went over to the ticket office, and the man said, when he told me that the bus was leaving, I said, well, he can't go on that one. He said, we got to talk this over.
Yeah?
So then he says, no. He says, I can't do that. So then he started edging away, and I kept going with him.
Well, the baby in your arms, where was he edging toward?
He was going to the men's room.
That's a husband's last refuge. In time of need. Did he get away from you?
Naturally, when he went in there, I stood there for a few minutes, and then I came away.
Did anybody take your side or anything?
When I came out, these three women rushed up, and one says, well, she ought to know her own husband. What's the matter with the man?
Yeah?
Where does he think he's going? Call the police.
These women, they were sticking their nose into your...
Oh, yes.
But no man at the station volunteered to say anything.
Oh, there was one sailor there, and he was really giving the man the eye.
But he didn't say anything.
No, he just was standing there looking.
Well, now, this is interesting to us because this is a bona fide experiment, and the women were the only ones who volunteered to call the police or do something drastic about it.
Well, there were two or three men there, but they were just sort of looking. They were maybe skeptical. I don't know.
Well, didn't you feel a little sorry for the poor guy who was acting the part of your erring husband?
Oh, yes.
As a matter of fact, you should feel sorry because you know this program, don't you?
Oh, yes.
He was no more actor than you are. He was a perfectly innocent guy that Irv pointed out.
Oh, no!
Goodbye, and thanks from People Are Funny. Good night.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.